Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We'll hear from Grody at 1 o'clock from Hallis Hall. Russ Dorsey is in studio with us right now. So Russ is breaking down what happened, not just to the Cubs and the Brewers in the first two games, but also whatever he wants, and you have a thought to finish.
Before I get to my thought, before game one, remember that fan when we were at on Gallagher Way and we were doing predictions before game three against the Padres that had the blue hair and the painted face?
Yes.
So I'm standing on the field before game one.
No.
They just opened the gates, and I see somebody running down the stairs. And I said, that's our friend from Gallagher Way. And I knew he was going to come over to me and said, what do you think now? And I laughed, and it was fun. We had a good moment. My friend, if you're listening out there, woof.
That friend inadvertently was in a picture we posted yesterday on Twitter for one of our topics. You know, I will post our topics with a picture on Twitter. It was the person with the painted face and the blue wig. And Grody kept trying to call him a clown. And I was like, you're not a clown.
I was also calling him a clown.
Yeah, it's not clown makeup.
It's very clowny with the hair, too, with the wig.
No, because it says Cubs. Like, it's pretty obvious it was not clown. Also, that person was correct. They were like, Layla, how dare you pick the Padres? And they just looked at me and nodded back and forth. They shook their head. And you know what? They were right. I was right.
What a clown.
So the thought that I had before the break, I think we're still talking about the starting pitching and Shota Imanaga. And I thought about this during the break, and I wanted to bring it to everybody. Your boy Russ Dorsey is at all these games. So, like, I'm watching very closely. And I think sometimes when you watch baseball enough, and folks at home, you probably can see it too. Sometimes you see a starting pitcher's stuff tick down or tick up. I'm seeing a guy right now where the stuff is ticked down. And I don't know what it is. And I think the lack of confidence kind of plays into maybe more so letting things snowball. But I saw a guy throwing 89, 90 miles an hour, middle in. And let me tell you what. Watched a lot of baseball. 89 miles an hour, middle in, unless you are 2016 Kyle Hendricks or Greg Maddux, or whatever. Like, those things get hammered.
Kyle Hendricks didn't keep it up that high.
Right? Like, you can't leave pitches like that and leave it out over the plate that much like Shota was doing last night. Because William Contreras absolutely hammered that ball. The pitch to Vaughn got too much of the plate, too. So, like, I just think when you're making the evaluation over the, when we're playing it out, if they were able to come back in the series in a game five, whatever, those are the other things you're thinking about when you're talking about can you hand that guy the ball? Not even just for a start, like in the game. Because there might be something you're trying to work through with him to get him ready for a future round. But I just think if your playoff life is on the line and you have to ask yourself honestly, you have to be really honest, do we have a better chance to win giving the ball to Colin Ray, Aaron Civale, or Shota Imanaga? I don't know how Imanaga's the answer to that.
on top of that, it would be a game five where all hands would be on deck. And there would be a day off between game four and game five. And that's my big issue with the way the series has gone is Pat Murphy's done such a better job of saying, oh, extra off days? Watch how we maximize the best that we have up and down this, not lineup, but the rotation and the pitching staff.
I mean, they had the bye, too. You know, they earned that bye outright. And then they were able to rest everybody. And you could argue, based on how they ended the month, that they were already kind of preemptively resting a lot of people. The last game they had of the regular season, they were clearly resting people. So they set themselves up for this. But they also just have more depth. The fact that they threw Mizorowski when we all thought it was going to be Priester is a good example of that.
It's a chess move, a genuine chess move. They rode that guy's energy and his excitement and his awkward celebration, because that was awkward, can we be honest?
Yeah.
That was awkward when he came off the mound.
Hey, man.
He's like, 3-U, because I'm so scared that if I throw it, I'm going to throw it into the stands. Man, Chuck Knobloch this thing.
Yeah. And then he starts stripping it. I understood that.
Yeah.
Like, a young dude, first postseason appearance, ball back to you, and yeah, you have so much adrenaline that you could chuck that thing into the fifth row. I understood fully why he said, I'm just going to run this over the bag. And the celebration, dude, I don't know what that's like to throw a scoreless inning in a big spot.
People,
at that young, and I know Cubs fans were, you know, they let their feelings be known about that.
People were joking that it was past his curfew, so he was just happy he got to stay up late.
That's funny.
Do you know how badly you would want a pitcher who is that good to be able to joke about being past his curfew to show up like that? Do you know what it reminded me of? Like when Jacob DeGrom busted on the scene like that. And I know it's a different... DeGrom's coming out party was really like the All-Star game and then the culmination of that season. But the youth and like the stuff and how that came to be...
It's a weapon to... Because that's a guy that burst onto the scene this year, then had some struggles, and then they took him out of the rotation. But to have that as a weapon for you in the middle innings, that's huge.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like that's what it is. Like, they emerge as a weapon
Even if you say, as we're talking with Russ Dorsey on, Raheemy Harris with Mark Grote, Grote's coming on at 1 from Hallis Hall, to have 104.3 in your back pocket from a guy, and you could say, hey, he was effectively wild in his appearance last night, sure, but as the game kept going, he settled in. And so if you play it out for the Brewers and say, that's a guy that you can have for fourth, fifth, sixth inning to kind of marry the two parts of the game from a guy that you have open for you if they do that again, which I imagine they would do. You know, if they play the Los Angeles Dodgers in the NLCS with those left-handers at the top of the Dodgers lineup with Shohei and Freddie Freeman, and you decide to go with Aaron Ashby, and then you come back in with Jacob Mizorowski, now that he has that confidence of a scoreless appearance like that, that's a huge weapon.
Looking like playoff David Price out there. I see you, Mizorowski.
You know what I'm talking about, where somebody emerges as a real X factor from a pitching standpoint. That's what I was thinking about. And DeGrom, because of the lack of success of his original team, is probably not the best example, but still. I also want to ask you this. Is there a trade from this deadline that sticks out to you as one that really put a team in a better position than it did before? Because I would have said perhaps Mason Miller, but it was obvious.
Yeah.
I can't think off the top of my head of like a trade where
of the teams.
It's really
helped
cement it. I guess.
You know what's funny?
Was it Bieber was supposed to be that trade?
I think who starts tonight in game three in the Bronx to potentially knock the Yankees out of the playoffs. Bieber's huge. It's funny because a lot of the teams remaining, you can make the argument that they didn't do enough.
Right.
Like Brewers being one of them, right?
Sure. Brewers typically don't. Like, I think that's something that I looked at. Like, the Cubs didn't make many moves, but neither did the Brewers at the time, and they were rolling. Like, I look at the John Duran deal for the Phillies. He's been great. They might get knocked out, you know, of the playoffs tomorrow. So, Gino hasn't played well since he got to Seattle, but, you know, they're kind of playing well. The Tigers didn't make significant moves, even though Kyle Finnegan's been decent as of late. No.
Yeah, I can't think of one either.
No,
like, normally there's one that's like a pivotal, changes the course of the season type of trade.
I would still probably say it is Mason Miller because of how dominant he was, and his team got bounced.
Yeah, he doesn't hit, though, so that's the thing about Mason Miller.
But Mason Miller is going to be under team control until what?
Correct.
2030?
For the next 4 years. And they could potentially turn him into a starter, which is...
That's scary. That is scary.
My argument against that is that's a Hall of Fame type of arm in the back end of your bullpen, and you know how dominant it is. You're not guaranteed to get that same dominance if you try to turn him into a starter. Now, you can make the case, hey, look what happened with Chris Sale, and look what happened with Garrett Crochet, and you could turn Mason Miller into that. But remember back in the day when it was like, let's turn Aroldis Chapman into a starter, and it's like, nah, just kidding. We're just going to leave him throwing
a really funny
smoke.
Joke.
Yeah. So, yeah, but one of the things with that is you don't give up the number one prospect in baseball in Leo DeVries if that's probably not what you're going to do. And you have a team in the San Diego Padres where they've been up against it in terms of their payroll because of some of the contracts that they've given out. That's an easy way to say this is a cost control arm that we have for the next 4 years that we can turn into a starter. That would make a lot of sense, but it's hard seeing him paint 104.5 against the Cubs and say, yeah, we should tinker with this.
Russ Dorsey, thanks for the time. This was fun. And you
Thank
got
you
to
guys.
Do the People's pregame show last week. That was also enjoyable.
That's back when it was a better time for Cubs fans.
Yeah, and Ben Johnson walked right past you guys, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't see Ben Johnson, but he was in attendance.
He was next to Robbie in line.
Back when Robbie had his Cubs jersey on. And now he has a Tigers hat on, like he's an actual fan.
Side team and main team.
My side team let me down, man. They were fun, and then they stopped being fun, so then I went back to my main team.
Your main team might let you down tonight. It's tied at one, though. So it'd only be a temporary setback. How are you feeling?
At least my team wins a game. That's really it.
That's a shot fired, huh? Oh, okay. Cubs are going to win tomorrow, Robbie. Just chill.
But what
I want to reiterate that in my most news anchor voice, this is a story we will continue to track. You're right. What if they don't?
You say they're going to win tomorrow, but what if they don't?
Then there will be reasons, and they will be criticized and blow it up. I don't know.
Blow it up.
Gee, blow it up. I wouldn't have gone that far. I wouldn't have gone that far.
Sorry. Don't rebuild. Retool. Is that better?
I think you're working on your opinion on it. You're forming your thoughts.
I just think they're going to win in real time.
I just think they're going to win.
And you've seen enough to give you confidence in that.
Yeah, and Jameson Taillon and several other factors. But yeah, mainly the weather.
Marshall also thinks that they're going to break a trend from 2017 and score more than 3 runs in a playoff game.
That's my thing. Like, J-Mo could go out there and throw 7 shutout innings. I've seen it happen in this postseason where Jesus Luzardo was fantastic, and it didn't matter for the Phillies. You know what I mean? Like, J-Mo could go out there and throw 7 shutout innings, and the Cubs could not score.
They're going to score 4 runs, so that's not. I can't.
You don't
that.
Even have evidence to say that's true.
Welcome to our show.
They hit Quinn Priester. They OPS over 900 against Quinn Priester.
No, Marshall.
Okay.
Look at the recent trend. You have to talk about what they've done lately. Do you think they have a confidence as a offense, as a lineup right now?
Russ, we're up against the break. You're trying to bait me into more
stuff. I'm just telling you.
I just want to lay everything out
for you.
I appreciate it. We'll continue this conversation at Gallagher Way with not you.
Why not?
Because he's not going to be there, is he?
Are you going tomorrow?
I don't know what's going on, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, when you find out, let us know.
It might be there tomorrow. It might be here Friday. I don't know. There's a lot of things that are on the table.
I'm part of the marathon broadcast, so I will not be. I've got the marathon press conference.
That's
on
what
Friday.
I heard. It just all depends on how tomorrow goes.
Now that is a tease.
Yeah.
We got to figure that out. Russ, always thank you for the time, for the hour. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
That's Russ Dorsey. You can hear him often on our station. You can also check his work out on Yahoo and read that article about the Cubs in Game 2 against the Brewers. Coming up next, we go out to Halas Hall. Mark Grody, the Bears are talking today, so we will listen. That is next.
Bears.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.